Holy Mother Church, in a very real way, reflects the life that we live. And of course, after the busyness of May, whether it be graduation or promotion, whatever it be, there's busyness, festivity, and here we come. A lot of families start to go for vacation. We finished our high point of the Easter, the Paschal festivities, which is, yes, everything of what we're about as a Christian people. But we have our marathon of solemnities, as we do in a natural sense, moving on, transitions, Passover from one stage of life to another. We celebrate the Ascension, the following Sunday, Pentecost, Trinity Sunday, followed by Corpus Christi, and then now we donour green vestments and we almost heave a sigh of relief in some sense that this tension is finally over and we have a pause. And we call this time ordinary, but as many of you know, it's not ordinary because extraordinary things aren't happening. It's called ordinary merely because it means numbered, the Latin word to be ordered and numbered and sequential. Today we resume where we left off in our numbering system, the 10th Sunday. Next Sunday we'll have the 11th, and then the 12th, and then the 13th, and so on. Walking around this numbered time, this ordinal time, and it is not a season of inactivity by God. And so we hear this story on this 10th Sunday of ordinary time, of creation, of sin. The image of sinfulness is held before our eyes. And yes, that's something that we think about in a particular way during the time of Lent, because Lent is a time of repentance. But my brothers and sisters, for the Christian, every moment is a time of repentance. Every second, especially this month as a culture. All types of banners are being held up, flags flown high. But my brothers and sisters, for the Christian, there is one banner. There is one flag, and it is the cross of Jesus Christ. And it says something to all. Yes, it says we are radically pro-life. We are a people who defend the unborn. But the Christian is larger than a political party. We recognize that gift in the immigrants, the same value, the same dignity. But yes, we hold all of this together, all of it together in the cross of Jesus Christ, bound up. And this, my brothers and sisters, is a time for us to remember that. And so what is it that this cross of Jesus Christ, this flag that the Christian is proud to hold high and carry into the world? Firstly, we have to understand the depravity and the darkness of what is being spoken to. Why? So we can scourge ourselves? Of course not. So we can do reparation for the brokenness of the world? In some isolated sense, no, it's so we can actually repair what's broken in ourselves and in the world. We can do that if we hold the banner of the cross, not just with our hands, but with our voices and with our hearts. And so what happens in this story? Adam, immediately after the fall, he's hiding. He's afraid. He's shamed. And out of that shame, and out of that fear, and out of that hiding, he points his finger and blames another. My brothers and sisters, this is the pattern of our own brokenness. And what does the Father do in the face of that brokenness? But step in immediately, immediately, and confronts it in the face, and says, as any father or mother would, this is not the life that I have in store for my children. This is not what I want for them. I want peace and joy and freedom, goodness, love, beauty, all of these things to flourish all around you. Not this brokenness, not this fear, not this shame, not this blaming. And that's a mirror that holds sinfulness up to ourselves. We have to recognize that firstly in ourselves if we're to have any fruitfulness of repairing this in society. We can't look at a friend and say, if only they were different, this relationship would be healed. If only my spouse was different, this would be perfect. If only my child was different, this would be perfect. If only my neighbor was different, there'd be peace next door. If only this parishioner was different, there wouldn't be a problem in the parish. Absolutely not. My brothers and sisters, the cross of Jesus Christ boldly proclaims something different. That freedom and salvation doesn't happen by hitting things with a hammer, but by being tied up tied up. We hear this story that Jesus is talking, this image of a kingdom divided against itself, and there's yet another image of sinfulness. Desires disintegrated within ourselves, tangled up, pointing in all types of directions. Herding cats within ourselves. That's what happens because of sinfulness. Nothing is pointed in the same direction. And it causes everything to fall apart and trip all over itself, to move in opposite directions. But my brothers and sisters, the cross of Jesus Christ binds things together. And we hear this story. What if a kingdom is divided against itself? What if there's a strong man that's guarding the house? Can the house be plundered? Yes, if the strong man is tied up. But my brothers and sisters, if you want to be a part of a revolution, recognize it in the cross of Jesus Christ. Because in the cross of Jesus Christ, the strong man is tied up. The world doesn't understand this, and if we're brutally honest, neither do we in so many unredeemed parts of ourselves. The world says, if only people saw me different or acknowledged my right to do whatever I want, things would be different. Not true. It's false. It's false. The message of the cross of Jesus Christ, his light, his plan, and his peace, says that if things are clear, if things are measured, if things are defined according to the plans of my heart, the schemes of my heart, the world will be a beautiful place. This, my brothers and sisters, is the call that we are inspired to hear on this beautiful occasion, on this 10th Sunday of Ordinary Time, to recognize that in being bound up, there is freedom. Freedom, yes, because the strong man is tied up, and the contents of hell are plundered by this will of the Father and the will of the Son and the will of the Spirit. But this isn't just a gift that skims across the surface of our life like oil on water. No. It's because Christ came to do the will of the Father, and Adam, who is turned in on himself, navel-gazing. That's the beatific vision that Adam is caught up in this moment, looking at himself, his own experience, trapped and suffocated in this misery. And this misery, that's Adam's experience. But in the cross of Jesus Christ, we are made upright to look outside of ourselves and to look beyond ourselves and to recognize that in giving of ourselves to another, we find freedom. Not demanding that the world meet us on our terms. No, because our terms are pathetic and small. But on the terms of the Father. And those terms of our immense peace. Inward renewal. Inexpressible joy touched with glory. This, my brothers and sisters, are the terms of the Father. The terms of the Son, who is bound up as a strong man upon the cross and coming forth from the empty tomb, hallowing the depths of hell, plundering it. And this is the promise of the Holy Spirit. And let us hear this call, not in a sense of destruction or discouragement to think about our sinfulness, no, but the radical recognition that the Lord is always the master chiropractor of our hearts, helping us to stand upright against the turmoil of the world and to look not just forward, but to look up and see him crucified, to see him exalted in glory, and with eyes and hearts burning towards heaven for which we are made and which the imprint is burned into us, we might find freedom and not just reach back reminiscing to the moment in the garden, either in the past or in a specific location. This, my brothers and sisters, is the garden that the Father wants to renew for you. This parish, this neighborhood, this city, this world, by his grace and by his grace alone. And so, my brothers and sisters, on this holy day, let us be renewed in our invigoration for not just looking up to the cross of Jesus Christ, but recognizing in this call to give of ourselves to another that doing the will of the Father is our daily bread and the food that sustains us. And in doing the will of the Father is our joy, our peace, and our salvation.